Precious Father, we come to you here today as we have been celebrating the birth of your dear Son, Jesus Christ. We're so grateful, Jesus, that you came and dwelt among us, that you came to save us from ourselves, from our sins. And we're so grateful, God, that you're willing to love us in spite of who we are, not because of who we are. And we just ask, Lord God, that we can love you back today, and that we could learn to joyfully spread your word throughout this entire world, any place where you place us, Lord Jesus. Thank you that we can pray in your holy name. Amen. Typical Christmas message. I'm in the Psalms, of course. Psalm 96. It is about God, and everything in the Old Testament that's about God is also about Jesus, because in my understanding of the Godhead, it's Jesus and his Father and the Holy Spirit, all three of them together, are one. And this is about a God that's worthy of praise. This is a God that we need to ascribe his worth to him and to the world around us. We need to proclaim the good news, the gospel of salvation. And it's something that we're blessed to be able to do. This is a God that made the heavens. He's the God that made the earth and the God that created all things. As we work our way through the Bible, if you start from Genesis, the creation, you get to Revelation, the final creation, final judgment, where everything is made right. In the middle, there's a lot of human interaction, and we find ways to mess things up. God tries to fix it perfectly, and we say, oh, I think we can make that better, and we try to play God, and we make things worse. So this is just a psalm that helps us, I hope, focus and concentrate on our relationship with God and how we can interact with him and with the people around us in a godly manner. Sing to the Lord a new song. That's a command in Scripture again and again. Sing. Now, Harry says he doesn't like to sing, doesn't have a good voice, but God says, sing to the Lord. Now, sometimes singing is just with our heart. Sometimes it's like you come around a corner and you see Mount Index. It doesn't matter. I've been around that same corner and I've seen Mount Index so many times, but every time I come around that corner and I see it, it's like, whoa, thank you, God. It's like, this is a new song. It's something that even though it maybe feels the same as one of the old songs, every time that we recognize God anew, we can sing another praise to him, another new song, another way to say, well, we love you, Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. You know that this isn't just for the Israelites. It's not just for people that come to church. This is for the entire world, all the earth, whether you're humans or any other creature, or even the mountains and the hills and the trees and everything else. All the earth is to sing glory to the God that created it. Sing to the Lord, praise his name, proclaim his salvation day after day. I think sometimes we get caught up with our problems in life and we forget that God is our salvation. And to proclaim his salvation, a lot of times we're preaching to ourselves. It's like, oh yeah. God's in charge of that. He's going to make it right. He's going to fix it. He's going to make everything the way it's supposed to be. I know it's not the way it's supposed to be now. It doesn't take long. Look around the world. You can find a lot of problems. But God's going to make things right. I didn't quite finish that page yet. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. I love that God has always been a God for all peoples. When we get to Revelation, again, there's this time where before the throne, there's people from every tribe and every nation that are singing praises to God. They're singing of his salvation. They're glorifying his name, doing exactly what it says to do in this psalm. And that's a heavenly thing. If we want heaven on earth, part of heaven on earth is proclaiming God's glory. Why would we do that? Well, because he's great. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. Unfortunately, in this world, a lot of things get praised that are not worthy of praise. A lot of people get praised that aren't worthy of praise. Some people demand praise. They get on their soapbox and they say, look at me. And it's kind of like little toddlers trying to just discover themselves. except for some of them are adults and they have a big microphone because they're a football star or they're a politician or they're whatever. And so they get up in front of everybody and they try to tell everybody, proclaim your praise to me. But what does the scripture say? Great is the Lord and he's the one that's most worthy of praise. No one else is that worthy of all this praise. He is to be feared above all gods. That sounds odd because most of us don't think of having a lot of little gods anywhere, but anything that we put above our God becomes a god, doesn't it? Anything we admire or revere above the creator of the universe, we're taking away from what he deserves and we're giving it to something that's not deserving. For all the gods of the nations or idols, but the Lord made the heavens. It's kind of interesting that the comparison here is all the other gods are things that we made. We made them up. They're idols. You can take a chunk of wood or a rock and you can carve it and you can mold it and turn it into an image that you like and say, that's my God. But the real God made that rock and made that chunk of wood and made all of the things that we try to turn into idols, turn into little gods. But our Lord, that's worthy of all praise, is the one that made all things. Verse 6, splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and glory are in his sanctuary. Sanctuary is just a set apart place. We kind of call this room a sanctuary. Sometimes the building is a sanctuary, but really, any place we are with God should be a set apart place for God, a sanctuary for God. Sanctuary is a place of peace. A sanctuary is a place where you're not going to be harassed or hurt or harmed in any way. They set up sanctuaries for birds and for other animals so that they can't be hunted there. I like the fact that when I'm in the presence of God, the enemy can't hunt me. I'm in the safe place. That's another reason to ascribe glory to God, to give praise to our Lord. This next section here is just so beautiful. Ascribe to the Lord, all you families of nations. So that kind of, that's everyone, right? There's no one's left out here. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Now we already learned in the verse before that strength and glory are in his sanctuary. Well, how did they get there? It's from God. Every good and perfect gift is from God. Ascribe to the Lord the glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Sorry, clicking ahead too quickly there. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. How much glory is due the name of God? Now, I know that there's a lot of bad things again in the world. We can look around. It's not difficult to find problems, and sometimes that's where our focus is. But if we want to understand God and know God, recognize that even a problem, a friend like Mort is bedridden and not doing well. Well, I can ascribe the glory due God's name because I know that God is going to take Mort and give him a new body and he's going to create him anew and he's going to be perfect and he'll be able to run and jump and do all the things he used to be able to do when he was a kid. Every one of us is probably looking forward to that new body, that glorified body that doesn't feel pain when it gets up in the morning and can successfully traverse mountains. I'm kind of looking forward to a lot of the things that maybe even fear and weakness have kept me from doing here on earth. And God's going to fix us to the point where we don't have to know fear. We can go to new heights and places that we've never been in his newly created heaven and earth. So ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name, bring an offering and come into his courts. Just like the little drummer boy song. It's kind of a weird song, pum pum pum, all that stuff. But, you know, the little drummer boy realized he didn't have much, but what he did have was a drum and he knew how to play it. And so he played it as unto the Lord. And I think whatever we have, whatever God's gifted us with, we can lay back at his feet and give it to him. Paul talks about crowns that we're going to earn for various different things. But those crowns aren't for us to put on our heads and keep forever. Those are crowns that we get to lay at the feet of Jesus and say, thank you, Lord, for gifting me with this or with that or with whatever I had. And we give back to the Lord the gifts that he's given to us. That's the offering that we bring. We really don't have anything in our own strength that we can bring him that he needs. He's made all things. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Again, if we recognize that God is holy, there's some real beauty in holiness, isn't there? Nothing like an unholy interaction with somebody. Somebody comes up to you and you just, by the time you're done with the conversation, you feel slimed. It's like, oh, I feel dirty. I need a shower. This person's been evil. They've been mean. They've been rotten. And yet, if we think about being in the presence of the Lord, we can worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. You get cleansed in the presence of the Lord. You get made right. Tremble before him, all the earth. Because pretty much all of us on earth are not holy. And yet God asks us, be holy because I'm holy. So he's demonstrating to us what we need to do, and then he's given us the strength to do it. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. That's a pretty powerful proclamation. If God reigns, then why am I complaining? If God reigns, then why am I worried? There's so many things that we go through in life that are unnecessary if we would just recognize that the Lord reigns. The Lord is King of all kings and Lord of all lords. He's going to eventually set things the way they're supposed to be. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. We can trust that God's judgment is going to be equitable judgment. A lot of times you're not sure. You might go to court for something trying to make things right, and that judge might have a different idea of what's right than you do. And you could lose, even though you were in the right. That happens here on earth. But with God, his judgments are always righteous. His judgments are true. His judgments are honest. And he's going to judge the peoples with equity. He's not the judge that says, well, what can you do for me? Or the judge that says, what have you done for me? Sometimes when people go to court, they get the benefit of the doubt because of their skin color or their standing in the community or whatever else. Sometimes people are judged because of their skin color or their lack of standing in community or reputation or people that they're hanging with. You know, if Jesus had been judged in a human court, oh wait, he was. A human court looked at perfection and judged him worthy of death and killed him on a cross. The baby Jesus. That's not the kind of court that God's going to bring everybody to for the final judgment. He's going to judge with equity. He's going to say, I declare you righteous based on your relationship with me. The Lord reigns. Is that a powerful statement? If we're struggling, we're probably not recognizing that the Lord reigns. Because in our struggle, it's like, okay, but I still have King Jesus on the throne. I know that I'm going through hardship for a time. Paul talks about that. For a season, for a time, there's going to be trouble. But then, all things will be made right. He's going to judge the people with equity. I love that. Verse 11. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea resound and all that is in it. This is all of creation, all of the earth rejoicing and praising the Lord. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Let all the trees of the forest sing for joy. the psalm started out, sing to the Lord a new song, and then it's saying, even let the heavens and the fields and the forests and the seas and everything. Now, a lot of times in Scripture, the sea is recognized as a place of chaos, a place of death and destruction. When Jonah was thrown into the sea, that wasn't a good thing. And yet even the sea has its boundaries that God sets. That's mentioned a number of places in Scripture where it says God sets the boundary for the sea, and it says this is how far you can go and no further. So the sea is going to be jubilant and joyful and praising God because it's all in order. All of creation. Let all of creation rejoice before the Lord. And then it gives a really good reason why. For he comes to judge the earth. Now, that's not a very happy thought if we're going to be judged corrupt or judged evil or judged in a way that's going to put us in eternal damnation. That's not something to rejoice about if we don't know Jesus. If he's coming to judge, it's like, oh, is that good or bad? Well, he's coming to judge, and when he comes to judge, he's going to look at those that are his chosen, those ones that have been his followers, hopefully all of us, and he'll look at us and he'll say, you're accepted in the Beloved. You are righteous. I declare you not guilty. I declare you actually more than not guilty. I declare you good. I declare you righteous. I declare you just based on you're wearing the robe of righteousness that my Jesus earned for me. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his faithfulness. It's not my faithfulness that gets me a good judgment. It's the faithfulness of God that brings me something I didn't earn and gives me something I don't deserve. That's a pretty good Christmas message, isn't it? That God is good and we can sing to him and spread his salvation throughout the earth and recognize that eventually he's going to be the final judge, the one that makes all things right. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, that you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We ask that we can recognize that and declare that the Lord reigns in parts of our life that we haven't allowed you to reign in. Those areas where we've been full of worry or despair, those places in our lives where we've just been depressed and down in the dumps and not trusting you, God, I pray that we can declare the Lord reigns in those areas of our lives. In those interactions, Lord Jesus, that we have with others that seem really negative, God, I pray that we can bask and enjoy your holiness and recognize that you, the Holy One, will be a judge that comes and judges with equity, judges fairly, judges in a way that our heart's desires are going to be known and public, and you're going to shed light on everything, God. And I pray that you'll continue to burn those things out of us that don't belong there. Clean us with your refiner's soap, your refiner's fire. Cause us, Lord Jesus, to be better and more perfect followers of you so that we can be worthy of your name, that name that's to be praised above all names. Your holy name, Jesus, we do pray. Amen. Does anyone have a closing song? I don't. What's that? There's not one on there. No.